Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. and you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Through it all, it is well with you. It is well with you. It is well with you, child of God. As a matter of fact, it's already well. It's already well. It is already well with you. Hallelujah. It is already well with you. Yes, say it. It is well with me. Even during this pandemic, it is well with you. You may have lost a loved one. It is well with you. Yeah, you may have lost your livelihood during this season. It is well with you. You may be sick in your body. It is well with you. It is well. We profess that it is well. We profess it by faith. We confess that in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We pronounce it. It is well. We announce it. It is well. We proclaim victory now. We proclaim victory now. We do not wait for things to get better. We proclaim it now. Why? Because he who loved us while we were yet sinners and gave himself up for us at the cross, this is what he said, tetelestai, it is finished. It is finished. Regarding your life, it is finished. It is finished. Hallelujah. And we are born again through him. We are born again through him. By how? By grace through faith. That's why he died on that cross. And it is that through that faith that we proclaim our victory. Our faith, that faith is our victory. It is your victory. It is my victory. Hallelujah, child of God. It is your victory. It is my victory. Hallelujah. It is your victory. That's why the Bible says, First John chapter 5, verse 4. That's what he says. He says this. Listen to what he says in the Amplified. That's what he says. Are you ready? He says, for... Are you born again? If you are born again, this is for you. If you are born again, this is for you. Hallelujah. It is for you. And this is what he says. Listen to what he says. He says that for everyone means everyone. Everyone includes you. Everyone born of God. Everyone born of God is victorious and is an overcomer in the world. You are victorious in the name of Jesus. You are an overcomer in the name of Jesus through him. Hallelujah. And then John continues to say, and this is the victory that has conquered. This is the victory that has overcome the world. Hallelujah. And what is that? Our continuing persistent faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Our continuing and persistent faith, that is what has conquered the world. As long as you are born of him, you are more than a conqueror. Not by power, not by might, not by intellect, but by faith. Hallelujah. Wow, awesome. Isn't that awesome? Yeah, my faith, your faith, that is the bedrock, that's the foundation, that's the cornerstone of Christianity. Any Christian who professes to be a Christian and does not have faith, I don't know what you are talking about. Hallelujah. And we're not just talking about faith this evening. We are talking about persistent faith. Persistent faith. Persistent faith. Faith today, faith on Monday, faith tomorrow, persistent faith. Not in a man, but in God. Hallelujah. And I want to draw your attention to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Jesus Christ is teaching about prayer. Hallelujah. Remember, we are in the month of prayer. I hope you are praying. I hope you are fasting. I hope you are before the Lord. Hallelujah. This is what he says. This is what he says. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for this? He says in Luke chapter 18, Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18, please. If you have your Bibles, I hope you have them. I hope you have a pen. I hope you have a paper. Just to jot down what the Lord speaks to you as his word, you know, is being unfolded this evening. And then he says in verse 1, and he told them a parable. Who is telling the parable? Jesus Christ is telling a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. That men, you and I, ought always to do what? To pray and not lose heart. You know why he's talking about not losing heart? It's because at times we pray and do not see the answers there and then. You know, we live in this world today. We live in an instant world. Everything is instant. Instant coffee. Everything is instant. We want it now. But he was teaching us a lesson and saying, you know what? Not everything you will pray for, you will get there and then. But you must not lose heart. You must keep the faith. You must keep praying. You must keep pressing on. You must keep pressing on. You must keep pressing on. Hallelujah. And then he said in verse 2, he said, in a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And then he says, and there was a widow in that city, who kept coming to him. She kept coming. You need to keep coming, child of God. Yes, you're saying, but I prayed last year. I prayed and I cannot see anything. You need to keep coming like this widow. She kept coming. She kept coming. That's why we keep coming before him in prayer. She kept coming. And what was she saying? She kept coming and saying to him, give me justice against my adversary. Give me justice. Then verse 4, he says, for a while he refused. For a while, this judge refused. He did not give her what she wanted. But that did not deter this woman. She was determined in the place of prayer. Child of God, you must be determined in the place of prayer. Push until you receive that which you are asking for. Pray, pray, pray. Persistent faith. She had faith in this judge. She knew that he was her only hope. And therefore, she was not going to give up. She was not going to give in. She was not going to let up. She had to keep on pushing. The Bible says, for a while, it is for a while, it is not permanent, it is for a while he refused. Yeah. But afterward, he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because, this widow keeps coming. She kept coming. She was too much. She became too much for the judge. She kept coming. This evening I've come to talk up to someone who has stopped coming before the Lord. You have stopped. You have lost faith in God. But this evening you need to arise and go in the presence of the Lord. Keep going. Keep going. Because she keeps coming. I'm gonna give what she wants. In verse 8:6, and the Lord said, she keeps bothering me. I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. You know, the judge decided to give her what she wanted because he knew she was not gonna stop. She had won the judge out. Until he came to a point and said, you know what? I'm going to give her what she wants. I am tired of this widow. She can't seem to stop. She doesn't take no for an answer. Let me tell you, child of God, in the place of prayer, there's no. No is not the answer. We keep pressing on. Keep pushing. Keep coming in Jesus' mighty name. And Jesus said, he drew a lesson that he was teaching us, teaching you and me in verse 6. And the Lord said, Hear what the unrighteous judge says. Now he's about to juxtapose himself to show that if the unrighteous judge can hear, what about him? What about your heavenly Father who is righteous? Hallelujah. Remember he said, who amongst you, you know, that your child can ask you for a bread and you give him, you know, a stone. He asks for a fish and you give him a serpent. So if you in your sinful nature cannot do that, what about me? Listen, verse 7. And he says, and will not God give justice to his elect And will not God give justice to his elect? You are his elect. I am his elect. He will give you justice. He will hear your prayer if you keep coming. Be determined in the place of prayer. Have faith in the place of prayer. Today we're talking about prayer and faith. Prayer and faith. Faith is the most is the most important ingredient in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Then he says, and will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Who cry to him day and night? Have you been crying to him day and night? I have good news for you. God will give you justice. Your God will hear you. Your God hears. Hallelujah. And then he says, you know, will he delay long over them? God is not going to delay long over you. No. I don't care how long it has taken. I can guarantee you that he's coming for you. He's going to answer. Keep on calling. Keep on calling. Keep on calling. That line is not engaged. No. That line, your prayers are going straight to the throne of grace. And then he says, very, very, very crucial, in verse 8, he says, I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily, quickly. Quickly, instant. It's going to be quick. It's going to be quick. It's going to be quick, child of God. Hallelujah. But then he says something. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Will he find faith on earth? This evening, do you have faith? I know you have prayed. I've been a Christian for a long time. You have no idea, Pastor, what I have done. I have given. I have served the Lord. But I do not see answers. I can't see an answer. Do you still have faith? That was Jesus' worry. Even this evening, he's wondering, when is there still faith in these guys? Do you still have faith in him? Let me tell you, child of God, effective prayer depends on faith. Effective prayer depends on your faith. Listen, not just any other person's faith, but your faith. The willingness to trust in God's faithfulness to his promises to you. Faith is necessary when we are approaching God, because prayer is approaching God. Faith is essential. It is an essential. It is compulsory. It is required of you in order to approach God. You cannot approach God without faith. Will he find faith? He's asking. Why was he asking that question? He knew that in these times, faith will erode. And faith has been eroded, child of God. These days we believe we have faith in the things that God created more than he who created them. We have faith in people. In America, they have just finished voting and a new president has been inaugurated. There are some people who have faith in him more than God. Some people have got faith in their president, so much faith in their MP, so much faith in their leaders, so much faith in their pastor, more than in God. Have faith in God, child of God. We have faith. So, listen, you have more faith in a chair than you have in God. Because when you come across a chair, you don't even think twice. You just dump yourself in the chair without thinking, because you have got faith that the chair will hold. But when it comes to God, you have no faith. Can you imagine that? Listen, all of us here, most of us have traveled. You get onto an aircraft, you pay it for a ticket, you get onto an aircraft. How many of you, before you get onto the aircraft, say, I want to meet the pilot first? You get into that seat, comfortable. And then somebody on the speakers shouts, I am Captain so-and-so. And you have faith. You have faith that you are going to arrive where you are going. We have faith. You have not seen the pilot. But you have faith that this thing is somebody. You have faith that there's somebody in the cockpit. What if there's no somebody there? Let me tell you, there is a greater pilot than all the pilots. the pilot of your life. He is in the cockpit. He is in the cockpit, and he will for sure deliver you where he needs you to go. Do you hear that? So when we approach God, we approach him, we draw near to him in faith, with faith. Hallelujah. That's why the Hebrew writer, the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and said, and without faith, minus faith, it is impossible to please God. It is impossible to please God. It says, for whoever would draw near to God must believe, number one, that he exists. You must believe that he exists. You must believe that he exists. Just like you believe, you sit in that aircraft and believe that there's a pilot in the cockpit. Regarding your life, God wants you to believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him diligently. Have faith, child of God. Have faith in him. Have pistis. The Greek word pistis, that means strong confidence. Have strong confidence in God. Have strong reliance upon him. Have confidence in him. Trust. Have assurance in him. If you are coming to him in prayer, you must approach him as someone in whom you have confidence, in whom you have placed all your confidence. All your eggs are in one basket. There's no plan B. It is him. You know that he is faithful. You know that he is reliable. I'm not talking about your earthly mother, your earthly father. Some of us, our parents are gone to be with the Lord. But our faith is not, our faith is in God. My friend, faith is a state of believing on the basis of the reliability of the one trusted. On the basis of the reliability of the one being trusted. You come to God with a belief. You come to God with a conviction of him. You come to God trusting in his surpassing ability to help you in your physical and spiritual distress. And he has that power. It has got to be where? In you. He's going to work in a proportion to that power in you, that faith in you. How much faith is in your tank? Hallelujah. I'm drawing I want to draw your attention to Ephesians, the book of the letter that Paul writes to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3. In the letter to the Ephesians, Paul is talking about the stewardship of grace that God has given him. For us, the stewardship of grace that God gave him for us, especially we the Gentiles. And he says, and that mystery that he entrusted to him, the mystery which was made known to him by revelation. Nobody taught him that revelation. It was revealed to him on that road to Damascus. That we the Gentiles are fellow heirs with the Jews. We are members of the same body, partakers of the promise in Christ. And he calls that the manifold wisdom of God, the manifold Sophia of God, which he says that God intended that the church make known to the rulers and the authorities in heavenly places. That Sophia of God, he says, was according to the eternal purpose that he, God, realized in Christ our Lord. And then in verse 12, he says something spectacular. He says, in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12, and then he says, let me get it there. He says, in Jesus Christ, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. Did you hear that? When we come to pray, we need to come with boldness. We need to come with access. With confidence through our faith. When you come to pray to God, do not come dithering. Come boldly. Come knowing that he is able. You are coming to one who is powerful. That's why he says, he continues to say in verse 14, he says, for this reason, he says, I bow my knees for before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit. Strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. In your inner being. In your inner being. Why? So that Christ may dwell in you, in your hearts through faith. So that Christ may do what? Dwell in your hearts through faith. How does Christ dwell in your hearts? How is Christ in you? Is Christ in your heart? How is he there? By faith. We believed. I believe with my heart. Then I confess with my mouth that he is Lord. That's how he dwells in me. It says, so that he may dwell in your hearts through faith. And once he is in your hearts through faith, what will happen? You will be rooted. He says, being rooted and grounded in love, you may be strengthened. You may be strength. You may have the strength to comprehend, to understand, to take in, to decipher with all the other sense, the other sense, what is his breadth? What is his length and height and depth? So that you may know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. What is Paul trying to tell us here? He's trying to tell us that you need, when you come before God, if Christ is in you, you are rooted, you are grounded in love, and you begin to know the dimensions of the power of God. The dimensions of the power of God. A person of faith who approaches God comes knowing that he is able. When my son approaches me and says, I'm going, he may ask me, where are you going? I'm going for shopping. Yeah. He says, can you bring me this? You know what? He just says it because he knows I am able to do it. He doesn't care whether I have money or not. For him, he knows I can do it. Listen. He says in verse 20, now, to him, to whom who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we do what? Ask or think according to that power which is at work within you. Which power is that? That power of faith. That power of faith. With faith, you can approach God with boldness. That is why faith is necessary in your prayer. You approach him knowing that he is more than able to accomplish that which you are praying for. Whatever comes your way. Whatever comes your way. Faith is spiritual strength, while doubt is spiritual weakness. Did you hear that? We draw near to God by faith. By faith. By faith. Hallelujah. Do you have faith in you? By faith, we are guaranteed to meet God. By faith, we are guaranteed to see God. By faith, we are guaranteed to receive from God in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is somebody listening to me? Is somebody listening to me? Hallelujah. You have to have faith. Faith in the word of God. Faith in the power of God. Faith in the potency of God. Have faith in God, child of God. It is necessary. Without faith, you cannot get anything. Faith is the vehicle through which you draw near to God. Fully persuaded, with a guarantee that he's going to come through for you. Without it, you cannot please him. And we're not just talking about faith. We're talking about continued faith. Continued faith. Continued faith. Hallelujah. Our faith in him, your faith in him, should not be determined by the fact that he has only delivered to you. Even when he does not deliver, even when he does not answer, we keep coming, just like the widow. We keep coming. Persistent in faith. Even when he delivers, we keep coming. Even when he doesn't deliver, we keep coming. Because he's able to do abundantly. Whether he comes through or not, I will keep believing. The three Hebrew boys, have you ever read about them? Daniel chapter 3. They had faith in God. They had faith in God. They had faith that he was able to deliver them from any form of torture that Nebuchadnezzar would inflict upon them. They had faith. Have faith. As you pray, have faith. Unlike the others, you know, he came and directed that image, that whoever, you know, whenever a trumpet would be blown, people would just fall down and begin to worship him. Unlike the others, who would bow down immediately the horn was sounded, these boys refused to bow down to that image. They refused. And then it was reported to him that there are some guys who have refused, you know, who are not listening to you. Who are you listening to? To the problem or God? What did he do? He gave them one chance. He said, I'm giving you a chance. If you refuse, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw you into a burning, fiery furnace. These boys were not deterred by that. They told him, do not waste your time. We don't even need time. We'll give you the answer straight away. Straight away, receive the answer right now, right here. In verse 16, the Bible says, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. We have no need to answer you in this matter. Why? Why? He says, if that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning, fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. He will deliver us from your hand, O king. They were not scared by this man. They are not scared. And this is what they say. But if not, even if he does not come through for us, if let's say that he does not come, even then we are not going to bow down to this image, nor are we going to serve you. We will still worship him, even if he does not come through for us. Even in the fire, we will keep worshiping him. What would you do? Would you keep, what would you do? How would you answer the king? How would you have answered King Nebuchadnezzar? You know, some of us, the situation becomes so tense that, you know, we give in. We give in. Let me tell you, child of God, faith is necessary. It's necessary to receive the benefits of God. It is necessary for you to receive the benefits of God. Mark chapter 6, verse 5 to 6. The Bible tells us that even Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, not everybody received things from him. Not everybody received from him. The Bible says, and he could not do mighty works. Where? In Nazareth. He couldn't. Why? All he could do was, the Bible says, he was just lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. But he could not do mighty works. Some of us have not experienced mighty works from God. Why? Because we do not have faith. When we come, you know, timid, we come apologetically. You are coming to your father, child of God. Do not be apologetic. Come with faith. And then the Bible says in verse 6, and he marveled because of their unbelief. Jesus Christ marveled because of their unbelief as he went about teaching in their village. You know why? They became too familiar. Even in church, we can become too familiar. You Christians who have been, you know, have been saved for many years, we become too familiar with God. Isn't this the son of Joseph the carpenter, they would ask? People with no faith in God will never experience his mighty works, ever. Instead of pleasing him, because Hebrews said, whenever you approach him, you must approach him with faith. Without faith, you cannot please him. Instead of pleasing him, they make him marvel. They make him marvel. They make him wonder at their unbelief. How can you not believe in me and believe in the things that you see? Because that's how most of us we are. Without seeing, we cannot believe. We believe when we see. It says, blessed are them who believe without seeing, he says. You understand that? Instead of pleasing him, they doubt. Instead of pleasing him, we have become skeptics. full of incredulity. You know, being incapable to believe. Some people are incapable of believing God. That's terrible. Child of God. That is why when we pray, you must have faith in God. Approach Him with faith. Approach Him with faith. Approach Him with faith. You see, at times, I don't blame you. At times, when we're approaching Him, we're approaching Him with doubt, feeling unworthy, remembering our sins. You know, I am not worthy. I have done that. You know, I could. Child, you are His child. That's why Jesus Christ, when He was teaching us to pray, said, pray like this: Our Father who art in heaven. Picture yourself approaching your Father. Believe that He's your Father, your source and your sustainer. Hallelujah. Your source and... Let me tell you, my children, there's nothing that they will ever do that will ever stop them from being my children. Never. Nothing that you will ever do that will ever stop God being your Father. As long as you go back to Him and say, I acknowledge I have sinned. I acknowledge I have made a mistake. Father, give me another chance. He's, you know, Bible says that He's just. He will forgive you. As a matter of fact, as you approach Him, what He said, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. Whenever you approach Him, remember that He sees His righteousness. He sees His righteousness. He sees His righteousness through Jesus Christ who died for you. We are His righteousness. We are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So that's why the writers of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, He says, let us come near with Him, to Him, with a true heart, full of assurance in faith. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. In full, not half, not a quarter. But full assurance. Full assurance of faith. With our hearts sprinkled clean from any evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Whenever you come to Him, come knowing with the full assurance of faith that He's going to wash you clean. He's going to wash you clean. Who amongst you has got a child who goes outside there and dirtens up himself and then he comes into the house and does not clean them up? He will clean you up. This evening you may have messed up. You may have run away from Him. You may have gone wayward. But as you come back to Him, just like the prodigal son did, He will clean you up. The prodigal son was eating with the pigs. Rock bottom he had hit, but when he got home, he was bathed. He bathed him and the dad slapped on him the best robe. He will clean you up. So whenever we come, we draw near to Him. Know that He's not seeing your sin, your sinfulness, as long as you accept it. Because I have sinned you again. Only against you have I sinned. You need to come with that humility. The moment you come back with that humility, child of God, He will see you through the righteousness of Jesus. And with that in mind, then we can pray effectively and fervently. Hallelujah. With that faith in mind, we can pray effectively and fervently. And that's why I'm introducing you to James chapter 5, verse 16, where James writes and says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So when you are coming before Him, As you have repented from whatever you have done, whatever shortcomings, you know, He washes you. And then He makes you His righteousness. And as you are His righteousness, begin to pray with faith, knowing that you are asking from the Father with full assurance that He has sprinkled your heart with His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ, and washed you. That's why the Bible talks about the man Elijah. It says, Elijah was a man with like passions like you and me. But he prayed fervently that it may not rain for 3 years and 6 months. This man, when he was praying about the rain, he was not dithering. He had faith that what he's saying is going to come to pass. That's why he says in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1, he said, the Bible says, he stood before Ahab and says, as the Lord God of Israel lives, as the God of Israel lives, I said, before whom I stand, before whom I stand, he said, there shall neither be dew nor rain these years. And then he says, except at my word. What a kind of man. Except at my word. He did not even say except at God's word. At my word. He had confidence. He had faith in God. Have faith in God. Draw near to him in faith. Then the Bible says, then he prayed again after 3.5 years, and heaven gave rain. Hallelujah. Faith is necessary. Faith is necessary for effective prayer. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, he's going, he's passing by the wayside, and he's hungry, and he sees a fig tree, and he goes to eat in Matthew chapter 21. He goes to eat to see whether he can get something from it to eat. He got there and there was no fruit. The Bible says, and he cast that fig tree and says, may no fruit ever come from you again. And the Bible says, the fig tree dried at once. At once. Immediately. Then the Bible says that his disciples began to wonder. They marveled. It says, how did this just happen? It just withered at once? Listen to what Jesus answers them in Matthew chapter 21, verse 22 to 23. This is what he says. Truly, I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to this fig tree, no, you will do even more, but you will say to this mountain, is there a mountain before you? You will speak to the mountain and be taken down and thrown into the sea. And then he says, it will happen. It will happen. This is Jesus Christ saying. We need to take him at his word, by the way. It says in verse 21, says, whatever you ask in prayer, you will receive if you have faith. So, that means that when you are praying, you need to pray with faith. Draw near with faith. That was a lesson on faith. That was a lesson on faith. So that we may be able to believe in the surpassing potency of the one to whom we are praying. Believing in your heart. Believing in your heart. Faith is not a head thing. Faith is a heart thing. The problem with most of us is we come to God praying with the head. Yes, he says pray with understanding. Yes, I know that. But the heart has got to be in it. If the heart is not there, then you are wasting time. If you have been fasting for all this month and you have no faith, you are just on a diet. You are just on a diet. But if you want results, you must have faith. Believe that what you are praying for will come to pass. John Bunyan said, in prayer, it is better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. Most of us approach God just with words, but the heart is not there. Your heart, full of faith, your inner man, which Paul says that he's praying that we may be strengthened on the inner man. That is where the trick is. You need to believe. It is with the heart that we believe, my friend. You understand what I'm talking about? James chapter 1, verse 5 to 8, James writes and says, If anyone, if anyone lacks wisdom, what must he do? Ask God, pray. Pray to God who gives generously to all without reproach. And it will be given to him, he says. And it will be given. It will be given him. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. James continues in verse 6 and says, let him ask in faith. If you lack wisdom as you come to God, Ask. But when you ask in your asking, ask in faith. Ask in faith. The problem is some of us ask without faith. It says, ask with faith, with no doubting. There should not be a scintilla of doubt in you. Shouldn't be found in you. Ask in faith. It says, for anyone who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. So we come with one eye closed, focused on God, and the other one is open, looking at the issue. One is believing, and the other one is looking at this mountain. Oh my God, this mountain, can this move? So there are some things we think God can move, and others he can't move. So you are double-minded. You have about two quarters of faith, and then the rest is doubt. That you will not get nothing. This is what he says. I said, a double-minded person who is unstable in his ways, he must not think that he will receive anything from him. He must not think that he will receive anything. Not something. He says anything. Do you want something from God? You have to ask in faith. Otherwise, you will not receive anything. Read. Verse 7. James chapter 5, verse 7. For that person who is asking with doubt must not suppose that he will receive anything from God. Anything means anything. Why? Because he's a man of double standards. He's a double-minded person. Jesus Christ, when he was on earth, responded to people's needs on the basis of their faith. Even today, as he sat in heaven, as God is in heaven, he still responds to people's needs based on their faith. Jesus Christ heals two blind men. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 27, he heals two blind men. The Bible says that he entered this house, and then the two blind men followed him, and they prayed. They said a prayer, said, have mercy on us, son of David, they prayed. Have mercy, son of us, son of David. Hear us. We want to see. Jesus looked at them and said, do you believe that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I am able to do that which you have asked? Child of God, I don't know what you are praying for. Do you believe that God is able to do it? Do you believe that God is able to heal COVID? Do you believe it? If you don't believe it, just pause. First believe it. First believe it, that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything that you ask or even think. You need to know who God is. You need to know his potency. Otherwise, you it's like you're approaching him with a pole. He says, he asked them, do you believe that I am able to do this? And they told him, yes, Lord. What did he say? He touched their eyes and says, according to your faith, be it done for you. And their eyes were opened instantly because they believed that he is able to open their eyes. Hallelujah. The woman with the issue of blood. The woman with the issue of blood. What does the Bible talk about her? She said to herself, she had been bleeding for 12 years. But she spoke to herself. Nobody ministered this to her. She spoke to herself. What do you say to yourself? Before the pastor comes, before the prophet comes, let me tell you, you are your own prophet. I'm not belittling them. I respect them. I respect them. I respect your pastor. I respect your bishop. But what about you? What are you saying to you? When you look in that mirror and see yourself, you see that nose, you see those eyes, you see that face, what do you say to you? She said to herself, this woman, she spoke to us, she ministered to herself, said, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. When was this woman made well? I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, that this woman was made well the moment she said to herself, when I touch him, I will be healed. And there were many who were walking with Jesus Christ that day. They were not healed. And she came, and when she touched him, Jesus turned, and the Bible says, and seeing her face, says, take heart, daughter. Why? Your faith has made you whole. And the Bible says, instantly, instantly, the blood stopped. The centurion who comes to intercede for his servant, intercessors. We are all intercessors, by the way. Intercessors. When you are praying for somebody, do you believe that Christ can heal him? Do you believe that they can receive their miracle? Do you believe? He comes to Jesus and says, "I want, please heal my servant. He's almost dying." And Jesus Christ said, I will come with you. The man said, you don't have to come. Don't have to come. He says, I am unworthy. You don't have to come to my house. But just say the word. Just say the word. He says, just say the word. And you don't even have to touch him. Just say the word. I think he had read Psalm 107, verse 20, where the Bible says that he sent his word. He sent his word. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. He had read that. You need to know that. He sent his word. And when Jesus said, when he heard this, he said, my God, he marveled. He marveled and said, truly, I have not seen anyone in Israel with such kind of faith. The Bible says, there and then, that man's servant was healed. Even before he got home, at that material moment, instantly, this man's servant was healed. How? Because of this man's faith. He says, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. Go, let it be done for you as you have believed. Do you believe, child of God? As we finish, the Canaanite woman in Matthew chapter 15, verse 21 to 28, she approaches Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living God. Jesus Christ had gone to Tyre and Sidon. He was retreating from these guys who kept asking him silly questions, those Pharisees and those Sadducees. He's gone to rest, and this woman comes. She comes desperate because her daughter was sick. And she comes crying. She came crying. And she came crying and says, have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Have mercy. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. The Bible says, but Jesus looked at her and he did not even answer her a word. He did not say a word. How many times have you gone before God and there's no answer? It's like God is not there. That did not deter this woman. First of all, she was a Canaanite. She was not a Jew. She had faith. She had guts. She had guts to come and before God, before Jesus Christ, a Jew. Those were guts. That was faith. She had no other option. So she had to overstep the boundaries. And then he answered. And then the Bible says, and the disciples came and begged Jesus Christ, saying, send her away. She's crying too much. Have you ever seen those brothers and sisters who cry too much in church, and you begin to say, why is she crying too much? She has become too much for us. Let the girl alone. Let her cry herself. You know, let her cry as much as she can. Hannah had to cry. Eli thought she was drunk. Let the girl cry. The disciple says, send her away because she's become too much. And he answered. But the more they sent her away, she said she kept on asking, I need mercy. And Jesus Christ eventually told her, you know what? It's not right for me to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. It's not right for me to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. The Canaanites were called dogs by the Jews. In other words, you're not part of the family. In other words, you're not eligible to sit over this table. You know what she said in verse 27? She said, yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall on their master's tables. In other words, she's saying, yes, I may not be part of the family, but I present myself as a family dog. Because I know that whilst you are at the table, there's some crumbs that will come for me. I present myself as the family dog. I'm not asking for the blessing of Israel. No, 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 no. I'm not asking for that food on the table. No, 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 no. Just do not deny me the crumbs that on the floor. Let me eat those ones. Just give me that. Aye. Then Jesus answered and said, oh woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you or for you as you desire. And the woman's daughter was healed instantly. As we finish this evening, child of God, my God, may the Lord give you the strength. May the Lord give you the strength, internal strength, that you may have faith in Him as you pray. That you may approach Him believing that He's able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above anything you ask or think. He's able. The Lord is able. The Lord is able. He is responds only to faith. He responds only to faith. He responds only to faith. Your faith is what will make you healed. Your faith is what will guarantee you access. Your faith is what will guarantee you answers from God. You want something from God? Have faith as you approach Him. Have faith as you approach Him. The Bible speaks of Elijah. Elijah stands before the prophets of Baal and asks them, for how long will you dither between two options? There are people who were believing then, at that time, there are people who believed, who had some little faith in God. But then on the other side, they were doubting Him. They were dithering between two opinions. And that's how some of us are Christians these days. We are dithering between opinions. Today we are up, today we are down, today we are down. It's like, hang on a minute. Child of God, how long will you dither between two opinions? And He says to them, today we are going to go to Mount Carmel. We're going to have a contest. Every one of us, each one of us is going to offer a bull, sacrifice to the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, let Him be God. What kind of faith is that? This man, he's talking about 450 prophets. One man against them. Where is he getting this strength to challenge them in such a manner? He's getting this strength because he has faith in God. He knows that his God will do it. And the Bible tells us, as you know, the story goes, these guys had their bull slaughtered and they called upon their God and their God was not coming. And he began to taunt them and say, maybe your God has gone for a short call. He has gone to the toilet. Maybe your God has gone on a holiday. Maybe your God is asleep. The more he taunted them, then they began cutting themselves in and nothing came. The Bible says there was no answer. Then he came. And the bull was slaughtered. It was put on the altar. Before that, he had to prepare to repair the altar, which Jezebel had pulled down anyway. Then he told them, pour water on the sacrifice. You are calling for fire, and then you are pouring water. People were wondering, did he make a mistake? He did not make a mistake. He had faith in God. Pour water on the sacrifice. They poured water. He says, pour, do it again. They did it again. Do it the third time. They are pouring water on this thing until the sacrifice was water, the firewood was water, there was water around the trenches. Then, before all of them, he majestically goes to God. No antics, no gimmicks. He goes, he did not have to cut himself. He did not have to shake, just because show that God is there. You don't have to. A man of faith will go to God and speak. Well, and it's not in the amount of the words that you speak, by the way. It is in the quality of the words. And it is in the quality of the words and backed by the faith that you have in God. So faith in Him. The faith is what pushes the words. He says, Lord, look at these guys here. Come down and show yourself strong that they may know that you are God and that I am your servant and I have done this because of you. Immediately, the Bible said, fire came from heaven. Not only did the fire take the sacrifice, it took the altar, it took the firewood, it took the stones, it the whole altar, and took the water as well. My goodness, then everybody saw and knew that for sure this is God. How did this man pull that off? He pulled it off because he had faith in God. He knew that his God was able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above everything that he could ever think of. This evening, I want to invite you to a place of faith. A place of faith.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website, www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time, God bless.